Dean and Cindy are in an incredible junction in their life at the moment where they are leaving us, which is a very exciting moment for them, quite sad for us, but we are excited in the same breath because they're part of our family, and we cheer on everyone's success and their continued journey on God, the God story that they're on. But they leave for Durban to go be with their parents and in-laws on Wednesday, and then from there they're hoping to go, they're trusting, they really believe that God has called them. They're going to go to Bethel, which is in California, Redding in California, America. They're going to go there and relocate for a few years and study at Bethel's Supernatural School of Ministry because they believe they've got a gift, and they believe that God gives gifts, and they are, there's some photos being taken, so I just better make sure I put my smiley face on. Okay, good. I always seem angry in photos. I'm really not. But it's because people take them at inopportune moments. But they're relocating, and we're really excited this morning. We prayed for them. But we want to just ask some stories, because this is a story that's their sons and daughters in this home, in this house. They've really, the way they've done this process on hearing God to get and leaving well, but even the years preceding, they've been incredible in the sense of the way they've run this race here. They've been an incredible older brother to many in this, and older sister to many in this church. They've been leaders. They've served in roles that they're good at and roles that they're not good at.
Absolutely.
But they put their hand up every time and said, "We're here. We're here to be used. We're here to serve the forward movement of God's kingdom on the earth." So I've got a few questions to ask them. We're going to roll back 19 years. And I'm just going to ask Dean first. Dean, can you tell us, 10 years ago, the Dean that arrived in Cape Town, can you just give us a background story of how you arrived in Cape Town, why you moved to Cape Town? And you can mention Brett Anderson there. Throw him under the bus. That's helpful. And then can you talk us through that and the process of how you stumbled into this church?
One, two. You do this for a living, eh, Brett? Very good. Sure. Can you take us out of the monitors, please? That'd be great. Thanks, Brett. When Gabe says that we are a son and a daughter in the house, we really feel that. I think you get to a point where you actually gladly acknowledge that. It's not nothing to be humble about being a son in this house. But about in 2003, Brett Anderson offered me a job in Cape Town to be a sales rep at an audiovisual company, and it was the perfect opportunity for me to run away from Durban because I'd gotten hopelessly lost after growing up in church. My father's a pastor, been in ministry all my life. And I'd gotten to a point where there was excessive use of drugs and alcohol, and not to make much of that, but I was really in a low place. So if you're here tonight and you've been involved in prostitution or abortion or drugs or drinking, there's hope. You know, we sing about a God that we can walk on water with, who calls us to walk on water. And he does, because of his greatness, not because of us, because of his great love for us. He calls us out of those things. So 2003, I came to Cape Town, started working, and Brett continually said, "Dean, come to life group, come to church." And I was like, "Brett, not for me. I believe in God, but it's just not for me right now." and he was persistent. He was persistent in inviting me. So I want to say, be persistent in inviting your friends. Because one day, that invitation will fall on a soft heart.
Brilliant.
You'll be amazed. So Brett keeps inviting me, and I had an experience after my 22nd birthday where I was in my apartment by myself after a weekend of getting high by myself and experiencing some demonic interaction. So I wasn't that by myself. I remember it very clearly. I was standing in my bathroom mirror, and I was looking at the mirror, and I wasn't seeing my face looking back at me. It was this menacing, evil, grinning creature looking back at me. And I remember saying, I know what you are. And then I carried on with the rest of the weekend by myself in my apartment. But that little experience, I think, was teaching on the edge of something. Because 2 days later, I stood in the same spot, looking in the mirror, and I heard God say to me, that's enough, my boy. It's time to come back. There's incredible grace over our lives. And so I remember Brett invited me, so I came to church. I was ready. Sat in the back. I didn't listen to a word. Anton was preaching that evening where the guys were this morning. I didn't listen to a word he said. I just waited because I knew at the end there'd be an altar call. And I just stuck my hand up. And it's been an incredible journey since then, how God has had to deal with a rebellious heart, a heart of stone. I've made plenty of mistakes, but through it all, his faithfulness has been incredible. Really, it's been, I'm astounded at how gracious and good God is.
It's so profound to just look at you. We walk in now, people walk in, they see Dean leading worship, they see him preaching. But you just think, just a few years back, just what God can do in those times, and that nothing's impossible with him. And this is incredible to think, because often we think our friends, they're too far gone. But there's no such thing as too far gone for God. It's just where we feel we at our end, he's just beginning.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cindy, just want to ask you a question. Dean comes from a home where his mom and dad are in ministry. They've been together and they've been serving God. Then Dean rebelled that way, ran off from that home and then came back to God. Tell us about your story, your parents, your upbringing, and then also how did you filter into here?
I also grew up in church. My mom was a Sunday school teacher, so I grew up knowing Jesus, but the church I grew up in I was telling someone before the meeting, there was no community. Like, I was there for maybe longer than 10 years and never had a friend in church. And then my first year after school, Duran invited me. I'd come a couple of times to the youth, and then I think that was the...
That's when she saw me. Just putting it out there.
The biggest thing for me coming to Life Changers was the sense of community and people remembering my name. That was such a huge thing when I came in like the second week and people would greet me by name. And also the church that I came from didn't... the Holy Spirit wasn't something that was for today. So coming here, it was huge. It was so exciting. I can remember sitting, reading in my Bible and being like, this is for now. And so that was huge for me. And all the excitement that comes with that. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Can you tell us can you name some heroes, some people who in the life of the church and what role they played in your... You talk about community. I think community is so undervalued. We measure church on the preaching style or the worship. When we know that what God has put together, he describes the church, one of the pictures he shows is as a family. Can you tell us some of those heroes in your life and tell them what roles did they play?
The biggest heroes for me was Johan and Marlies. They really... were parents in the faith to me, just took me in, and as they did with many people. And then all my life group leaders that I've had, Gavin, Ange, Quinn and Mish, they just, I think a huge thing for me was also being like a young person, older people actually showing like interest when they speak to you and they're interested, what are you studying, you know? And you know, just involving me in things and also giving me responsibility. Like in the youth, I was given opportunities to share and invited onto the leadership. And I think that was huge for me, is that they recognized like potential. Yeah.
Same question to Dean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Murray, in my formative years here, was an incredible man. Murray planted out of Life Changes and is now leading a church in J-Bay and doing a wonderful work of God there. He was an incredible man. Really, so many people over 10 years have impacted my life. Really, it's been phenomenal. But what I will say is Wally and Shirley have shown incredible grace towards myself, really. I've pushed the boundaries many times, but he's been a great father, and he's never risked relationship with me. He's always been available. He's always been there. With Wally, what you see is what you get in terms of, you know, when he speaks to you, he doesn't beat around the bush, or he doesn't play games in a conversation. He's very straightforward, and it's been incredible. And then there's just so many. I don't want to leave people out, but I will say this about community is there's life in it. God is very clever. He is much smarter than we think he is. So he puts us in a family. It's not just a new gospel coalition word, community. It's the reality of the kingdom of heaven, that God places us in a family so we can love and be loved.
There's just something so profound about it as he's speaking. I just reminded this man named Alan Frau, and he preached a sermon last year. Just something for the parents here, something I really feel strongly as Dean and Cindy are speaking. He speaks in the book of Proverbs, there's three words that come up around parenting: nurture, shape, and sharpen. It just keeps coming up: nurture, shape, and sharpen. And his exposition of this was saying that parents can only actually really do two of those three roles in their own child's life. They can nurture them and they can shape them. But they said most children, you know, you hear the same thing over and over from a parent, like, yes, mom, yes, mom. They can't sharpen the kid. You can't sharpen them in the things of the Lord. And they said that's where God has designed this incredible thing of the third influence in a child's life. The third, a home group leader, or just a voice that says the same thing a parent does, but just a different way, or a youth leader, or a children's church teacher, or a home group leader, a friend, or someone along in the life of the church. And this was his challenge that he came to the end of. He says, so if you have a child who's a four-year-old, you need to be investing in the eight-year-olds in your church, because one day out of those eight-year-olds is going to be the kid who's going to sharpen your child who's four. If you've got a 10-year-old, go and sow into the youth kids. Go and join the youth ministry and help out with the youth ministry, because those youth kids are one day going to be the home group leaders of your kid. If you've got a teenager who's 18, go and sow into the young adults, because one day that adult, young adult is going to sow into your child. I want to say that to parents really strongly. It's not just enough just giving it home. This thing of community, God has placed a family unit that is involved in community, not just on its own isolated. Just some things to think about. But you mentioned, Dean, just that, and I just really want to jump on that very quickly, and then Cindy can throw in a few of her examples as well. You said that you've been here for 10 years, and we know the trend in life today. Tough times come, we bolt. I'm out of here. Fight or flight. You know, the syndrome there is where either I want to box you, or I'm just done, I'm running away. Can you mention a couple of moments where either your own folly or some other people have done things where you were tempted to run, tempted to say, I'm up, I've given up on this thing. Yeah. And where God spoke, or whatever happened, somebody spoke, or somebody held on to you.
Yeah, I think it goes beyond our like fight or flight thing. As a Western culture, we're just consumers. We feel that we have the full right to sit here and eject whenever we want to, when things get uncomfortable, and we'll find a place that suits us better. But you don't do that with your family. We're not a people that when things don't go well with our wife, we go, I'm out of here. I'm going to find someone better. It boils down to a choice. God chose us. He chose to love us. Even when we were rebellious against him, he chose to love us. And we get to live out that unconditional love here. So there's been many moments where I've wanted to run. I think there's been times where I've done it intentionally. I mean, I've had to step down from leadership in this church. I've done stupid things, and I wanted to run far away where no one would know the mistakes that I've made. But I don't think it's through any wisdom of mine. I just think I'm a slow decision maker. And then I forget about stuff. So I'm like, should I go? And in God's grace, I end up staying. So it looks like wisdom, but it's not. But we're often faced with those opportunities. I've had times where I don't agree with leadership. And often we'll go, well, I'll find a church that does agree with me. You know, where's my friend that agrees with me? And God's calling us and called us to a higher standard. He's called us to committed relationships. You don't throw your brain away, but we toughen up a bit, and that we choose to love each other. And we choose to stay committed to the family that God's put us in. I'll tell you this, we're not leaving Life Changes. We're not leaving South Africa. We feel to go. And there's a difference there. And my heart's been broken at how many people have come and have left poorly. Not just because of how it reflects on Life Changes, but I just see there's so much destiny that can be delayed in the responses and in our responses and our actions. We need to highly value. When God says there's a great inheritance, a rich inheritance in the saints, He means it. And I think we're only starting to discover what that is. Even now, as we sit, I don't necessarily agree with everything. Even with Gabe, some of the stuff that we might call theologically we don't agree on. But that doesn't determine my love for Him. It doesn't affect my ability to walk forward with Him in the things of God.
Yeah, I can't think of any specific examples now, but what does come to mind is that I've had such good examples and models of valuing relationship. Like that, when I look at the elders and my leaders, that's what I see, to value that, and I think that's helped a lot. So, yeah, that's all that comes to mind.
The word relationship is thrown around a lot. Cindy, your eyes met this man. When did you meet him? You came to this church. You got more than you bargained for.
Absolutely.
You came and you found a husband. Tell you, a good place to look for a wife or a husband is in the church. They're good people. Amen, amen. Just amening my own point. Cindy, tell us about what you...
Tell that glorious story.
Cindy, tell us the glorious story when the Lord opened your eyes, the heavens parted, and the angels sang, hallelujah, hallelujah. There he is. Tell us about how you met this man.
I did meet him on that first night. I remember it, but he doesn't. When I came to youth, I think it was a superhero night. Yes, Duran remembers.
Were you wearing your Wonder Woman top?
No, I've never owned a Wonder Woman top. I was Invisible Girl. Maybe that's why you don't remember. Yeah, God was very sneaky. I was living with a friend of mine, Candy, and Dean and her were dating, and we had a very close friendship, all three of us. And
she went there, okay.
That's the story, that's how it starts.
Look, I'd just like to say, again, God's incredibly gracious towards me. Because I'm a dumbass when it comes to it. Like, really, I was like, hey, Brett. I love that one. I'm going to marry that one. And He was just so gracious to give me the most incredible woman.
Yeah, sure. So much. We were, the three of us, like I said, were really close friends. And then I felt God kind of telling me, because after their, Dean and Candy, they dated for a very short time, and then, but we were all still friends, and I felt God telling me to speak to Dean, because I was like, hey, what's going on? I'm feeling like there's something happening here, and he, yeah, God was very sneaky. So,
our relationship started with a friendship.
Yeah, I think
really,
that's the important
part.
Really
good friendship, yeah.
And then...
And we're still friends.
Yes. And then on the 20th of January, 2009.
24th.
No, okay. The 20th, Dean asked me out. Yeah, my mind's gone blank. But I think the important part is that it started with
a relationship.
We had... It started with a friendship, and that was, I think, the cool part for me, is that we were really good friends and got to know each other just in a neutral environment.
It was the first relationship that I was really able to walk out well in terms of purity. And I'd had an upbringing of, I think, some rejection in different areas, and I had my mind distorted through pornography, so I think it took a bit of time and community for God to work that through in me and do the heart surgery and change the way that I would think about things. But when it came to Cindy, I was finally in a place to be able to make wise decisions. Really, things don't just magically happen. We make wise decisions. And so for us, and for me, I decided that we would not kiss while dating. I'm huge on grace. I don't believe in putting like legalistic things down for people, but grace says that maybe for me, I don't kiss my girlfriend until we married, and for you maybe it's okay, but the big thing there is you got to speak to your community and to the Holy Spirit and ask him, because for me that was one of my greatest victory points, is because yes, we were still tempted, yes, I still struggled in some areas, but that kept us safe, really kept us safe. So young guys, I want to say, don't be afraid to make the hard decisions. Ben, I'm joking. More importantly, Stu. Don't be afraid to make the hard decisions, really, because the good choices, they pave the way to a bright future. Huh?
We're privileged to have heroes like you in our church, and I want to say that's a great thing for young guys to grow up with the third influence. People whose stories are able to be seen, their victories and their failures. And I think those are huge, and I just love the fact that your story is littered with both, and yet every time you pick yourself up, and you guys have pushed on, you don't, and I believe there's many, many more ups and downs in your life to come, but I think it's so exciting how you've placed your hand in God's hand, and you're doing it by His Word, what His Word says, and you say, we won't falter on that. What He calls us to, we'll run to that. That's incredibly exciting.
Yeah, life's not easy, yeah? It's not plain sailing. That's the reality of it. You look back over your last couple of years, you've had your ups, you've had your downs, but one thing we know is that He never leaves us. He never forsakes us, and my foundation is He is good. He really is good to me. So even when we face things we don't understand, I don't expect a like flawless, perfect life. I don't expect that. I don't think you get that. But you get to walk life with Him. You get to have your life strengthened with Him. So if you're a new Christian, I don't want to burst your bubble, but things aren't going to go smooth. But He's always there. He is always, always there, and He is always good towards us. We need to start really getting that into our understanding, that He is good.
It's wonderful. I think a good thing that I want to highlight in your guys, which is incredible, that I think we could all learn from and take hold of, is the number of areas that you served in the church. From leading youth groups, the youth here, from leading home groups, from leading another home group, to lead another home group, I'm sure, to leading in children's church, serving there in the morning, in the evening, to preaching, to leading worship, to doing all these different things. I can imagine there must be a lot of others I've missed out, car park duty and all those things, or whatever. I'm not too sure what else you did. But, Dean, the question I want to ask you is, when you came here, tell us about your musical ability, and how did tell us the journey of leading worship.
Cool. I was actually thinking about that. excuse me. I couldn't play an instrument. When I was very young, my mom sent, I went to 2 guitar lessons. That was it. I hated it. Just horrible at school in Durban. So I sang a little bit of backup vocals in church every now and again, but not much. And so before I came here, I'd obviously hadn't done anything for ages. Didn't have any skill on an instrument. And I remember, Brett, we were at your house having a beer.
Sure.
And then Brett remembered, I'm on sound duty. So we rushed here. Rushed in.
Is that how it happens most weeks, Brett?
He's much better now. His mixing was, when he's had too many beers. No, I'm joking. He does. I'm joking. But I remember walking in, and feeling quite nervous because, I just had a beer and I'm coming into church. And came in, it was a practice, and a man named Les Woods saw me coming and he looked at me and said, "Come and join us, come and sit." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Can you sing?" I said, "I did once, yeah." Come sit." And he just drew me in. And we were much smaller then, and we just sat around, and I think he actually even might have, I can't remember if I sang or not, but it kind of lit something in me. And I was staying by myself, so I organized a little nylon string guitar. I had one CD, Matt Redman, The Father's Heart. It's a good CD to have. I listened to it over, I didn't have a TV, over and over and over again. And I got sheets of music from the guys here at church. And I think I came to 4 guitar lessons. That's what I could afford. But then I took that knowledge and I just played. And I still have pretty much about 4 guitar lessons worth of knowledge on the guitar. But I worship God. I worship God, and I've had incredible times. Some of my most memorable times of worship is just me. We've had amazing times up here as a team and as a church, but some of my most memorable times is me in my room with God. And I've seen Him do incredible things through musical worship. Our lives are worship to Him, but He's lit something in my heart that it's not just song singing. And I remember Les was amazing. I've been on Murray's team, Anton's team, Warwick's team, and they all imparted different facets of leading to me. So I could learn different things from them, and they'd risk with me. They'd give me a song, or they'd give me part of a song. And over the years, I've really had the privilege of learning on the journey. And I love worship. I love the freedom that we have in worship. And it's been an absolute honor and a privilege to lead here.
Thank you for leading worship for all these years with us. It's incredible. Dean Rass's quivering voice is a soundtrack to our lives. Thank you. Dean and Cindy, can you just tell us, how did you guys get involved with leading youth worship? Home groups, children's church, any stories there? Anything? Was there a voice from heaven that said, "Do it"? Tell us about that.
Yes, Wally. From the front, get involved.
I think for me, with probably the biggest thing I've served in is children's church, and just recognizing the need. It was when I had served in the morning, various age groups. That was really God just saying, "Hey, get involved in the family. When you're part of a family, you want to you know, you do your part. And that actually, I think, helped me see my passion. I've ended up studying teaching. And then in the evening service there, we just started getting more and more kids. And Ange and I actually put together like a little program. And yeah, that was, it was cool in also being able to get a team together and seeing other people, you know, that have strengths in that area, that opening up something that other people can serve in as well, and giving other people responsibility.
Yeah, I didn't hear a voice from heaven about getting involved anyway. I've washed a lot of mugs here. Packed a lot of chairs. I've led the youth group. We've led a life group together. I've led a life group. I've assisted in a life group. We are a family. We really are. We're not here to just be consumers. We're contributors. And no matter where you are, what you are, you just offer yourself. Just offer yourself to say, here I am. Do you need help? What can I do? And I think you'll be amazed at what comes out of you, what God's equipped you with. Some of the stuff I was shocking at. It's terrible. Really. But other things I found, like with worship, I found this is actually what God's put in me. And I get to fly and to really, I love it. So I really want to encourage you. If you're not involved at the moment in serving, because we're not here to just get like good morals and get fat on good morals. We're part of an active kingdom of God. And so we've got to be contributing in this kingdom. And where best to contribute than in your house, in your home. And you'll be amazed at what God's put inside of you and what you can do, what you can do with him. And some of it might seem menial, like making coffee, but to realize that you're making coffee for family members, for people who might have just come through a divorce, or people who might have just lost a loved one, or people who are having the best week of their life. He's serving, and that's what Christ modeled there. He modeled servanthood. He didn't model coming as a king and everyone must just bow to me. He really was the servant king, and that's our DNA, guys. That's what we get to do.
It reminds me of a story in the Gospels where Jesus wants to feed the 5,000, and he looks around, he says, what are we going to feed them with? And a little boy says, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Simple story you've heard probably a million times, preached a million times. But just the question goes up, what's in your hand? Sometimes we look down at what I've got. I'm not going to give that because I don't think I'm going to be good at that. What's in your hand? Do it and see what God will do with it. Absolutely. He can do incredible things. Yeah. Want to round up this evening with this question. Talk us through this. Why Bethel? Talk us through this last year. What is the stirring, the decision-making process? Can you help us with that?
Cool. Again, Cindy and I are not leaving South Africa. We love South Africa. We love the people. We love life changes. But probably just over a year ago, for God did something in my heart. It's like he took a defibrillator and brought me back to life, because I'd gotten to a place in my life where I could do everything without faith. Believe it or not, I could lead worship, I could be at life group, I could work. Every area of my life didn't require God to come through. And through reading a book called Sun Stand Still and hearing some well-timed preachers, and God just kind of woke me up again to the reality that he's God of the impossible. And that he's placed within you, if your heart is submitted to him, that he's placed some amazing dreams in your heart. And so, with my very good friend Leon Carl, I started to explore some of those dreams and what came up. And when I actually allowed myself to dream, because a lot of us have been so disappointed after so many years of disillusioned dreams never happening, we decide to stop dreaming because it's safer, protects us. But when I allowed myself to dream, submitted to God, I was amazed at what came up. And we're only starting to discover, well, more and more discover what God's put in us. So when it comes to Bethel, I know a lot of people, you might say, like, why don't you go plant a church, or why don't you go, you know, there's a lot of good things that one can do. But as best as we can, we've wanted to respond to what we feel God's saying and respond to that. And so we don't go to Bethel because they're releasing CDs and DVDs and all of that. I recognize on them an incredible revelation around the kingdom, and also an incredible understanding around the prophetic and church government. So for myself personally, I'm wanting to go and learn and really receive impartation in those areas. For Cindy, I think they've got an incredible gift with creative people and releasing creative gifting. So I think for my heart for her is to really flourish there in that environment.
Yeah, I'm really excited for all the art side of things. But just for me, where it started, Leon and Dean had been chatting, and Dean had shared with me, you know, his dreams, and this idea of going to Bethel had come up, and he just mentioned it, and I'd been thinking about it for like a couple of weeks, and my thoughts were like, sure, I can't imagine leaving South Africa. You know, I want to have kids here where my parents are, where our friends are. And then one day, and just chatting to God about it, just lying on the couch, I just, like I said to God, sure, I don't want to just live a safe, comfortable life. And it, like right then, God just dropped it in my heart to go to Bethel. And I said to Dean, hey, let's go to Bethel. And then that's where our dreaming and planning started.
It's been an incredible journey along the way. We've, funny enough, as soon as you start to head towards something, other opportunities arrive. It's like, oh, all of a sudden, hey, do you want to go do this? Hey, do you want to do this? And we really had to. It's been the most incredible journey to push into God and listen to Him and say, God, I don't think in the last year we've ever had such open communication with God and relying on Him heavily. And going to Bethel will require a miracle. We got our visas on Wednesday, miraculously, because we don't have all the funds, and you need all the funds to get your visa. So I was quite stoked about that, because I thought, okay, God, then, you know, I know when I've got my visa, I don't have to really worry about the finances anymore. You know, I don't have to live by that much faith. And God's like, oh, really? Organizes our visa for us. And we still have to walk forward in faith. And, you know, we sing about it. We sing about how great you are, God. And I will walk on water. Most of us, we live a nominal, average life. Now, I'm not saying we're all called to pack up and leave. But walking on water could be that distance from your desk to the person you work with, to their desk.
Very good.
And to share an encouragement with them, or a word of knowledge. We serve a living God. We serve a living God. And we just need to come to a place where we realize, I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. He has written out my destiny. That means He is speaking to me about incredible things that He's got planned for us. We just have to tap into that. The funny thing is, often we need to go beyond ourselves. And so we've been walking the most incredible, not easy, not plain sailing, And I can tell you now, without people like Quentin and Leon, people of great faith coming alongside of us, I've had times where I'm like, just don't know if we can even do this anymore. And we've had people, by the grace of God, community, come into our lives. And that's really what accountability is people accounting for your ability, saying, hey, I know you can.
Very good.
I know you can. It's not about our sins and our wrongdoings. It's about, I know you can. And so I've been really excited. I feel a part of our walk has also been a bit of in line with the transition of the church. We've got such an exciting future ahead of us, as does Life Changes.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, Life Changes victory is our victory.
Yeah.
Really. This is not the last time you're going to see Dean and Cindy. Hell no. I will be coming back. We will be coming back with what we've learned. But it's been an incredible journey. And I think we miss some of the simplicity of it, guys. God speaking. Listen and obey.
Very good.
Listen and obey. We try to reason everything out. We don't need reason. It doesn't make sense. What we've done does not make sense. But He is beyond our understanding. We need to be a people. Well, we are. Our DNA is a faith DNA. We just need to start thinking right and responding correctly. Does that make sense?
Absolutely brilliant. I think there's been some incredible nuggets that we can, if we appropriate by faith tonight, that could serve us as a community, whether it's you joining the community and saying, I'm going to stop running and living my individualistic life, but say, I'm going to jump in off. You say, I've been holding on to this gift, or I don't even know what my gifts are. Say, I'm in. I want to have my story like that. Or maybe your story's even a bit more raucous than that, and you're just even a couple steps back, and you're just looking into this faith thing. You don't even know about God, and you're just seeing a testimony of what God can do in people's lives. Take them from brokenness and set them up in a family and being sent into the nations to change the world. Something exciting stirs in your heart. But I think, so I pray that you take some of these things and you make them your own tonight. But I think the biggest thing that I take away from Dean and Cindy every time I sit with them is just the raw faith. And I get my faith stirred. And I want to say thank you so much for always stirring my faith and stirring our faith as a community and adding faith to our journey and reminding us that we are people who live for heaven's voice, not earthly reality. And I really believe, I just want to take this moment before we move on. We want to pray for you guys tonight and just thank God for you. But before we do that, I believe God has spoken tonight to us individual hearts, and He's warming hearts here tonight. I really felt, as Dean was sharing at the end, I felt that there are a few ladies here tonight, prophetically, who have to, by faith, make the decision to love their husbands. You've lost hope. You've lost courage to do that. You felt you've given up. You're like, I can't. I just can't do anymore. But I believe that God is pouring faith to walk on water, to say, I'm going to love Him again. I'm going to submit again, even though it seems impossible. I feel by faith that there's a moment here that some husbands who just have been so caught up in addiction and caught up in the way they live their life, and they don't know any other way. But God is giving courage to be fathers again, to be husbands of faith again, to walk on water. Let's not miss this moment. I believe God is giving families moments again to dream again in God. To not settle for just the ordinary, not settle for just white picket fence Christianity, but saying, God, I'm throwing my lot into the exciting destiny and future that Life Changes and Cape Town has and that I have.
Yeah.
I really believe that there's some, as Dean and Cindy, they are, because God, I feel God is putting them as poster children on His walls of people who love the church. Can I tell you, it's so easy to throw stones at the church. No cynic ever went down in history.
Yeah.
If you have a cynical attitude, critical attitude to the local church, I'm not saying to this church or to another church, any church, I tell you, it's by faith we love the local church.
Absolutely.
Because if we take it on face value, there's many reasons to walk away, but God is calling us to a higher standard this evening. Because of a testimony of a couple. This is, we can argue with theological thoughts, but we can't argue with testimony. Lives lived well to the glory of God. So I'm going to ask, if you need prayer on anything tonight, if you say, I'm just going to respond to left, right, center, whatever Dean and Cindy have shared, but you say, I'm in, God. A new adventure, a new day is dawning. Can you stand? And I'm going to ask Dean and Cindy to pray for us. Thank you.
Yeah, God, we love you, God. You are so, so faithful. You are so, so good to us, God. You really and truly are. And we delight in you. We delight in you, God. And Father, I thank you that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, yes, God. And that we have heard tonight of your goodness, Jesus, and your incredible grace and faithfulness, God. And I thank you as we've shared what you've done in our hearts and our lives, God, that you are making in this moment, you are making that same grace available for those who are willing to receive it. So, Father, I just thank you for a release of grace upon hearts, a release of grace to live in freedom from addiction, freedom from the lust of the mind. God, I thank you for grace upon people, God, to make the choice to love again. To make the choice to love again, God. I just thank you for a release of your grace upon people's hearts. Lord, where people, their dreams are like a coin that has been hidden in the dirt and trampled on and trampled on and trampled on and it has become dirty and hidden. God, I just see you picking out those dreams, those destinies, God, where they feel that, oh, I'm nothing special, that I'm just average. God, I just see you picking up and wiping the coin clean, God, with your grace and your faithfulness, yes, Lord, and it's beginning to shine. God, would you awaken the dreamers?
Yes, God.
Would you awaken the dreamers in this church? That life changes would be a people who walk on water,
yes,
who are not afraid to believe you,
yes, God,
for who you say you are. They are not afraid to believe that you are the God of the impossible. Right now, God, I pray even tonight, would you reawaken in conversations between husbands and wives,
yes,
the dreams that you have put in people's hearts?
Yes.
For you are good, Father. You are good, God.
I thank you, Father, that you're the God of second chances,
yes,
over and over again, Father.
Father.
I thank you that it's in you that we can dream just impossible things. I thank you that it's in you that a wife can decide to love her husband, that a husband can decide to love his wife again, Lord Jesus. I thank you that it's in you that we can forgive, that it's in you we can overcome addictions,
yes,
Jesus. I just thank you for your goodness, Lord Jesus, that nothing is too big for you, that you care about every aspect of our lives. I thank you for the gifts that you put in our hands, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for community, Jesus.
And Father, I just thank you for the most excellent way,
yeah,
the way of love.
Yeah.
God, you have not called us to be a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong. You have called us to be a family. And I thank you, God, that you are raising the standard in life changes to love well, to be a family with a future, an incredible future. Thank you, God.